Good morning, everybody. I'm in a good mood, so my wife is very nervous, not quite sure what's going to come out of my mouth, but my prayers are out to all of you who are suffering from all that nasty yellow-green stuff on everything. The good Lord sent us a nice, what they call in North Carolina, gully washer, to kind of just settle everything down. Let's hope that we are done with that. It is good to see Miss Tina here. Yes. Ron and I have decided that we are going to put her in a bubble. And so you'll be able to visit her in a bubble. All right, we are continuing our series on Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, "These are the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. They're for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, and for receiving instructions in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair." So all of these proverbs have been compiled into one book, basically, and they are for our instruction on how to live our lives. Imagine that. The scripture is actually saying, you know what, this, if you do these things, if you follow these things, if you obey these things, your life is going to be better. Now, you may disagree, and God really doesn't care. It is what it is. He says what he says. He means what he means. And these scriptures are to help us, to guide us in our everyday walk, so that we have less people going to Pastor Jim and saying, you know what, I have a problem in this area. Well, what are the situations and the decisions leading up to that? Well, I did this on my own and this on my own, and I know it's not right, and but I did it and it, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you know what the Bible says, right, about that? Yeah. You know that that's not the correct way, the best way of doing things? Yeah. Yet you continue, yeah. And so it's like, what good is this knowledge if you don't learn how to apply it? And that's wisdom. Because there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. I know a lot of people that have a lot of head knowledge about these words that are written in here, but they don't know how to apply it. Or they don't care to apply it. They just have the knowledge, and it's like, oh yeah, the Bible says blah, 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 blah. But in this situation, I think I'm going to go with Jim. And Jim can always get himself into trouble when he begins to debate whether or not he should follow God's word. And I know none of you have that problem at all, but sometimes I do. So that is what these are for. So we are jumping ahead to Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to start with verse 31. And it says, "Do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways." And I was thinking about that. I was meditating on this. What does that exactly mean? And the first thing that came to my mind was, when I watch Liam Neeson kick the crud out of a guy or six different guys in one room, and the way he does it, it's like, that is awesome. I would love to do that. And so I don't think that's exactly what this scripture means. And then I started thinking about our culture and how so many things that are going on now in America didn't happen 30 years ago. They didn't happen when I was in school. And I was thinking that my daughter, she's a teacher, and she had a young man who brought a rifle cartridge or bullet to school. And that's a no-no, which I totally get that. I totally understand that. And I think about all of the horrible things that have happened, all of the school shootings, the Columbine, all of the different ones. And I thought back to when I was in high school, and we still had pterodactyls flying around back then. But I remember, I lived in the West Valley District, and a lot of my friends were hunters. I didn't hunt. But they would come to school, and they had their trucks. And just about every guy that had a truck had a gun rack in the back of his truck. And if they were going to go hunting after school, pheasant or whatever, they just put their shotgun or their rifle in that gun rack. And they drove it onto school property, and nobody thought anything about it. There was not the terror that that gun was going to be used in a horrific way. It just didn't happen. And all of a sudden now we have shootings everywhere. There is a loss for respect for life. I'm not going to point fingers and say it's this or that, or this is the easy way to fix this or whatever. But I started thinking about, do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways. And I started thinking about some of the video games that are out there. Grand Theft Auto. I've never played it, but I have friends that have played it. And the objective is to kill a guy and take his car, I guess. And I've heard some of my friends at work that talk, and so, yeah, I got a Corvette last week. I had to pop this one. It's like, where have we gone as a culture? See, when I was in high school, I played outside. We didn't have video games. My mom had to drag me in to go to the bathroom and eat. Otherwise, I wanted to be out. Nowadays, we live in a culture where the football players have started a Play 60, where it's all right, everybody, we're going to try to get out and do something physical for 60 minutes. And that's the answer. It's like, are you kidding me? But I was thinking about this violent. Do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways. And you've seen the television shows and the Sopranos and all of the... We tend as a culture to lift those things up. And I was thinking, is that really what it's talking about? So I wanted to know what the actual Hebrew word for violent was. And it is chamas. And it means cruelty or injustice. Now that picture is a little bit different than what I had in my head. Although those things that I've described, they are very cruel, they are unjust. But this, and let's just go to James chapter 3, verse 8. And it says, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. There is more cruelty that goes on in America that is done by the tongue than with any other weapon. Way more. So we think, we look at, do not envy the violent. We think about all the violence, which is horrible, should not happen. But then we treat one another. How do we treat one another? How do you talk to one another? How do you talk to the people that you meet in the store? How do you act to people when you're driving down the road? Are you cruel? Are you unjust? And I think this verse right here is a compilation of all things. We can say, well, at least I don't beat my wife. But are you cruel in the way that you talk to her? Are you unjust in the way that you deal with your marriage and your kids? And how do you treat people in the business world? I dealt with one person, and he was a Christian, and I did some work for him, and when I was done, he says, well, I have all these things that I need you to fix. So I went back and I fixed them all. I thought they were very irrational, but I did it anyways. And then I went back after I'd done that, and he began to nickel and dime me to death. Well, I'm not going to, well, and then it just, bop, 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 bop. And I says, you know what? This is not a way that a Christian should treat another Christian, or a Christian should treat anybody. And his response was, well, I'm just treating you the same way that I was taught how to run business. And I says, it still doesn't make it right. And after we were all done with our things. He offered me a job. I said, you're out of your mind. But how we deal, he was very unjust in the things that he did. And I just went, okay, Lord, I'm going to stand up for myself, but I'm also going to put him in your hands. You deal with him. My way of dealing with it was have nothing to do with this person. He was unjust in the way that he was doing business with me. And as I worked in the construction arena, I found out that he was just the same way with everybody else. And I thought, what kind of witness is he being as a Christian businessman when everyone I've ever run into has nothing but ill to speak of him? That is a horrible witness because he's unjust. Our tongue can be very violent. It can be very evil. And I believe that's what this verse really is speaking about, is how we treat one another. The two main commandments, according to Jesus, love God and love your neighbor. The word is chesed in the Hebrew. And it is a kindness, it is a gentleness, it is a loving relationship with God first and then with other people, even if you don't like them. So we are not to envy the violent ways or choose any of their ways. We're to be different. We're to look different. We are to sound different in all situations. And we're going to find out a little bit later what that looks like actively. So that is Proverbs verse 3:31. So let's go to 3:33. It says, the Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. Now I want to know. Okay, so wicked. If I say, oh, that person's wicked, what pops up into your head? Evil, Hannibal Lecter, kind of just nasty, evil killer, you know, serial killer. Because I don't think we apply the word wicked the same way that the scriptures apply wicked. So I kind of wanted to know, okay, what? Actually, we'll talk about wicked a little bit, but let's talk about curses and blessings. Now, I've had a lot of people say, you know what? I know that the Lord blesses, but I don't really believe that he curses. You know, I know that I make a decision in my life and I don't receive his blessing, but God doesn't really curse. Well, you don't really know your scriptures. We're going to go back in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. And it talks about the blessings and the curses. And this is God, when he brings his people into the wilderness, he establishes commandments on how he is to be in relationship with his people, how we are to react and be in relationship with God, and how we are to react and be in relationship socially with other people. And Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2 says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. And if you read on, it begins to talk about what God is going to do. You will be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the country. You'll be blessed as you go out. You'll be blessed as you come in. You'll be blessed of the womb. You'll be blessed of all the things that God has for you if we are careful to obey his commands, his way of doing things. So when we walk in his ways, he promises there are blessings. But if you jump down to chapter 28, verse 15, it says, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. So he says, if you do these things, there's blessings. If you don't do these things, there are curses. And as I began to go through them, it says, you will be cursed as you go into the city and as you go into the country. You will be cursed as you go out, as you come in. You will be cursed in all areas. And I began to realize that a curse is the absence or the retraction of the blessings of God. So when we don't receive a blessing that God has for us because we choose to disobey in how we do things, whether it's our tongue, whether it's our life, whether it's whatever it is, God withholds those blessings because of disobedience. And therefore, a blessing withheld is a curse. I never thought of it that way. Well, I'm just kind of going along in neutral land. I'm being disobedient and not getting the blessings of God, but I'm kind of in limbo. I'm not getting cursed either. Yes, you are. If you're not receiving those blessings from God, you are walking under a curse. It was a revelation that God gave me. It's like, wow. Because I've heard people say, well, you know, God really doesn't curse people. Yeah, he does. Now, some people are out there going, well, you know, Jim, that was the Old Testament. That was God speaking specifically to the Jews. What does that have to do with me as a Gentile now? Well, let's go to the scriptures and find out what the scriptures say. Romans chapter 15, which is New Testament, after the coming of the Messiah, after Jesus shed his blood, he is now talking about people who are living in the new covenant, which is the covenant that we are under right now. Romans chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. It says, for Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share them with material blessings. This right here says, as Gentiles, we are now sharing in the blessings that God gave to the Jews back in the wilderness. It's not just Old Testament, got to let that go, doesn't matter. This is a new time, a new covenant. No, this says right here, if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings. Those spiritual blessings are the blessings that we receive from God. We share in those blessings that he promised to his people. Because we have been adopted, we have been grafted into that vine. And we share the covenants now, and we share in their blessings, and we share in their curses. For if we obey these things. Now, does that mean we have to be perfect? Absolutely not. But here's the difference. There's a difference between a person who is blatantly hard-hearted and says, I don't care what the Bible says about this, I'm going to do it anyway because it benefits me in some way. As opposed to someone who's struggling in that very same area and going to God and saying, God, I am really sorry. And they have a repentant heart. That's what God looks at. Huge difference between the repentant heart and the person who says, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm doing it my way. There's the difference. It's not, this is not a call to perfection in as much as it is a call to have a heart for God and his ways. And when we truly seek him, when we grow in the knowledge of who he is, in the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, our heart should be softened to the point where we go, I don't want to disappoint my Heavenly Father. Because I love him more and more. And I know that what he has for me is absolute best. Even if I don't see it, even if it doesn't make sense on this fleshly level, his ways are to benefit us. He wants us to walk in blessings. Absolutely. Jesus says, I came so that you would have life and have it more abundantly. That abundant life is adding the blessings of God into our lives. And it doesn't happen when we live in disobedience. I've said this plenty of times, and I'm going to say it again. The blessings of the Lord are abundant for those who walk in obedience and rare for those who do not. That's scriptural right there. That is a choice that God has given each and every person who has ever drawn a breath out of their mouth. Are you going to choose to obey me? Or are you going to choose not to obey me? Now, there are certain situations in the Bible where God enforced his will on certain people and says, you're going to do this even if you don't want to. Read Jonah. He was an unwilling prophet. And God says, don't care. You're going to try to run away? I'll get a big fish to swallow you up and spit you out on their shoreline. I don't care. You're going to say this. I don't care. You're going to do this. Those situations are very rare. And God can even use us in our disobedience. But for the most part, he says, okay, choose. Choose obedience or choose not to obey. You want my blessings? Here's the path. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. You want my curses? Go your own way. Choose your own path. Choose your own ways. All right, so I want to go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. And we're going to look at that word wicked. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked. Now remember, his curses are actually the absence of his blessings. Blessings that are available, withheld because of disobedience. And then he calls this the house of the wicked. And the word wicked is rasha, and it means one guilty of a crime or hostile to God. Now the first part, one guilty of a crime, we're all guilty. Every single one of us are guilty of sinning against God. Ain't nobody ever lived except for one that was not guilty. So it is one guilty of crime, rasha, or hostile to God. When we're disobedient to God, you ever had a child that you've said, do not do this, do not go that route, do not do this, and they blatantly do it, even when you told them not to? Isn't that cause a little bit of hostility? I know it did for me. Things kind of got a little hostile once in a while. In the Olsen house. Very few times. Very, very few times. But there is a hostility in being disobedient. And it's a heart issue. Acts chapter 3, verse 26. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your not so good ways. No, the word there is wicked. Wicked ways. When we lived in our lives without Christ, we were hostile to God. When we become believers, we are no longer to be hostile to God. Are we going to screw up? Yes, we are. Are you going to screw up? Yes, you are. But remember, it's a heart issue. It's a process. It is a growing. It's that sanctification process that I talked about. It's slowly working your way through to become more and more like him. But this verse right here says, every way that is against God and his ways is wicked. It's wicked. So it's not just Hannibal Lecter wicked. Yet it's wicked. When we live in disobedience to him, we're living as wicked people. Yet I don't ever remember thinking of myself as wicked. Well, Jim, that was a wicked thing to do. Not even on the freeway. But according to these scriptures, we are. We're wicked when we're guilty of a crime, which we all are. And thank you, Lord, for the blood that was shed. Because then we are righteous. Not because of our wickedness or because we're good enough, but because of His grace. When we accept that, we are no longer wicked. The problem is we have a struggle going on in our body, in our minds, and in our hearts. Because the old Jim does not like to relinquish that power. Old Jim still likes to be in control. Old Jim still likes to do or think about certain things that old Jim used to think about. And God says, no, you are no longer to be that way. And He sent His Holy Spirit to help me, to help us. All we have to do is relinquish that power, to say, God, I am not able. I am not able to handle this anymore. I know Your word says this, and I am here in this situation or circumstances. I am not able by myself, under my own power, to get to here. But I know You have sent Your Spirit to assist me. I'm not able, but I am willing to let Your Holy Spirit work in me and mold me. It's getting your butt off the throne and allowing God that place. The place that He desires. The Holy Spirit guiding us, comforting us, counseling us, being an advocate for us in all those situations. And that comes through relationship with your Heavenly Father. So, I prefer to walk in the blessings of God. I much prefer those. But you know what? Sometimes I'm like the Israelites. When God brought them out of bondage from Egypt, where they were beaten, they were whipped, they didn't eat well, they probably drank nasty water. They were just oppressed. They worked from the minute the sun came up to the minute the sun went down. Yet within a few days of God delivering them miraculously out of bondage, they began to grumble. Well, you know, remember when we used to eat really choice meat back in you know, and we had our nice houses, and they begin to remember bondage as something completely different. But God brought us out here, why? To die? And they begin to grumble against God and His ways. And then they look back with fondness on the old crud. We do that sometimes as Christians. Well, I remember when I used to be able to just do that. This or whatever I wanted, and I didn't have to do that and that and that. Whoa, man, I remember. And then God allows me to remember the bondage that I was in. The bondage that I was in and how miserable I was in that. We have an advocate that can help us and guide us through anything. Doesn't matter what it is. It says in the Bible that Jesus was tempted in every way known to man. So that we cannot say, well, you know what? I'm struggling with this. Jesus has no idea what I'm going through. Yes, He does. Why? Because the Bible says He does. He was tempted in every way, yet He did not sin. He made it through. And He sent us an advocate in the Holy Spirit to help us through those things. He sends brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas in Christ to help you through those things. That's what we're here for. To encourage one another, to lift one another up. You want to hang out in the world will beat you down and kick you to the curb and step on top of you if it benefits them in some way. We're to be different as God's children. Amen? Oh, boy. All right, the word wicked in the Greek is paneria. Paneria, and it means evil purposes or malice. And remember that anything that goes against the will of God is considered wicked. It's not just that horrible image that we have of what wicked is. It is actually disobedient to Him. We're to put aside those wicked ways, the ways that were hostile to God. We're to be different and grow in that. Amen? Okay, one more time. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. It says, "Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way." It says, evildoers, wicked, do not hang out. Do not walk alongside. Do not follow the ways that they go. Goes back to the other verse. Do not envy the ways of the violent. It says, do not even set foot on the path of the wicked. Those that are hostile to God. It's like, well, you know, these are my friends. These are my friends. And, you know, I'm not going to be influenced by them. I'm going to influence them for Christ. And they walk alongside of them down a path that they should not be walking on. Feeling that they're, you know, somehow have, and you may have a calling to do that. It's like this one guy, unbelievable. He came to me and he was at a strip club. And he was a brother. I says, "What are you doing?" "Well, you know, strippers need Jesus too. They do. Let's get that straight. They do. But has God called you to go into their thing and give them $1 bills so that you can witness to them? You better be sure that that's what God's called you to do. Because my way of thinking is, God has not called me to do that. I'm not going in there. Why? Because old Jim probably show up." So it says, do not even set foot. Well, you know, with my buddy, he's not a believer, and he's got a bachelor party coming, and they're going to the strip club. So what are you going to do? "Well, you know, they're my friends. They're my buddies. You know, I don't want to seem like the weird guy. My brother got married years ago, and I was just a baby Christian. And he hired a stripper for the party, the bachelor party. And I knew it was time for me to leave. And so I did. And he got mad." "What do you mean? The stripper just got here." "Yep. It's time for me to go." "Well, you just one of them Christian sissies." "Well, so be it." But I knew if I stuck around, old Jim was going to come up. He was going to show up, and who knows what's going to happen then. See, I think a lot of men dabble in certain things that they shouldn't be dabbling in. Shut the door. Do not let the devil get a foothold. If it's something you used to struggle with, don't even go down that road. Don't tiptoe along it, thinking, "Oh yeah, this isn't gonna master me anymore. I've completely controlled that. I can do whatever I want to now." Until the enemy gets his foot in that little open door, and then shoves his whole body through there, and you're bound. Don't even go down that road. Don't even set foot on that path, because there ain't nothing good down that path. I told my daughters, ain't nothing good happen after midnight. "Well, we want to stay." No, ain't nothing good happen after midnight. There ain't nothing good happen after 9 o'clock either. Yeah. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up on that note. It says in Romans 12, verses 1 through 2, this is what I'm going to leave you with. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. We are no longer to think like the culture that we live in. We are to be different. There is a renewing of their mind. That is something active. That means you have to take old thoughts that you have inherited or had passed down to you by your parents or the culture or whatever. Take those thoughts captive, get rid of them, and replace them with this. You know, I should have said to my brother, you know what? My Bible says that I am to offer my body as a sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. I didn't know that much back then, but I knew I shouldn't be walking down that path. And I didn't. And now there are other paths that I know that I'm not supposed to walk down. And I just kind of, boop, 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 yep. I'm just going to go to like 3 or 4 feet. That's all. Until the devil gets his foot in the door. Oh, I'm just going to do this just one time. Wrong. I don't understand meth addicts. Because all of the information out there says it could take just one time. One time of doing meth. And if you've ever seen a time-lapse photo of someone who's been addicted to meth, they're unrecognizable. Absolutely unrecognizable. And that is not what father would look at their child and go, yes, that's what I wanted for them. We have a heavenly father that wants the best for us. And according to the scriptures, he says, here, do it this way. You may not agree with it. I don't care. You may not like it. I don't care. This is what's best for you because I love you. I don't want you going down those paths because there ain't nothing good down that path. A life wasted, I believe, can be set off by one wrong thought and one wrong action. Because you don't end up 20 miles down the wrong path until you've made that decision right at the beginning to go down that road. And then pretty soon, you're 20 miles down that road, you got no blessings from God, and you wonder, what's going on? God, why did you leave me? Why did you bring me here? No, he did not. The choice that you made at the beginning will determine which path you're going to take. Now, is God there on that path? Yes, he is. But there are no blessings on that path. He says, I'll never leave you and I'll never, forsake you. But if you choose to go down that path, there are consequences. Is there a point where of no return? Absolutely not. As long as you have a breath in your body, every person has an opportunity to come to Christ or to turn around. Don't go down that road. Know these things. Read these things. Study these things. Why? Because Christ has a life, an abundant life, that he wants you to live. We have a loving father that doesn't want us. I don't want my daughters to learn the hard way on anything. But there are certain choices that they have made along the way Does that mean I don't love them anymore? Absolutely not. But there are consequences to your actions. Choose wisely. Learn these things. Study them. Implement them. Let them sink from here into here. And in order to do that, you're going to have to do some rethinking. You're going to have to renew some mind things. There are a lot of us that have ruts in our minds that set off certain triggers, set off the automatic thinking, and it goes into that rut, and it goes along that road, and you've got to change through the Word of God, through the help of the Holy Spirit. You have to change your thinking. He's given us everything we need in His written Word, in His Holy Spirit, to get us through anything. And if you're sitting out there going, nope, what I'm in is impossible, then you don't know my God. Because my God's big enough to do anything He wants. He can handle. He created this. He created this universe. Pretty sure He knows the intricate workings of it all. He can fix your brokenness. Thing is, you got to let Him. You got to be willing. Not able, but willing to let Him do whatever it is that He wants to do according to His perfect will. And that is not easy. Jim still likes to be in control. But you know what? Jim can screw up a lot of things and has. So let Him guide you. Amen? Please rise. I used a quote a few months ago, and I'm not going to do it justice, but basically it was along the lines of truth stands alone. It doesn't care if you believe in it. It doesn't care if you agree with it. And it will never end. It never fails. We have the ability to know truth and not apply truth. And God says, you choose to walk in curses. I don't want to do that. I don't think anybody here would say, yep, I'm blatantly going to choose curses. I would prefer God's curses to His blessings. But when we live a life of disobedience, it's exactly what we're doing. If we envy the ways of the violent, if we're cruel or unjust, if we're living in our wicked ways, ways that are hostile to God, that's exactly what we're doing. We're choosing to walk under His curses. And that's a choice that each and every one of you has to make on your own. Don't go home and say, well, you know what? Did you listen to Pastor Jim's message today? You need to buck up, buckaroo. No, this is each one of you choosing to pick up the mirror and look at your own face and into your own heart and saying, okay, God, what do I do with this? What do I do with the information that I have? And help me. Help me to walk in Your ways. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your Word. It's not always warm and fuzzy, but it is always rooted in love. So I pray that we would take these things that we are learning from the Proverbs on how we are to live our lives in relationship with You and in relationship with other people, that we would allow them to seep from our mind into our hearts so that they become actions, so that we can show the love of Christ to others. We can show the love of Christ to our spouses, to our children, to our co-workers, to the person standing in line at Walmart. Lord, I just pray that You would give us the strength to do these things. That You've promised that Your Holy Spirit would be there to help us, to guide us, to correct us, to encourage us, to counsel us. Lord, I pray that we would allow your Spirit to do so, understanding that you are God and we are not. And everybody said, amen. Have a great week, everybody.